Amen. I thought of it.
That was Dad's prophecy this morning, getting rid of weights.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right.
There's weights. And the prophecy this morning was, he's hiking, doing a wilderness thing, and you're exhausted, and at the end of the day, there's rocks in the back of your back. Who has done this? An enemy has done this, but we should be checking our bags periodically. Because rocks get in there. Something's weighing you down. Get rid of it.
It was
so that was this morning, and then that, and that. Amen. Have you located the rocks today, or the weights?
I want to say something before we start. I was sitting here and I listened to your prayer and to Elijah and Isaiah and Melania and Chuck, and it moved me so much because I never would have dreamt that I would get to sit in a room and hear those that I love. They shouldn't even be here, really, except that Father God is. Bring forth messages, and I just want you all to know how grateful I am.
Amen. Thank you. So you met Dad about 50 years ago, and Dad was 19 years old, and you're now 19. So thank you, Father. He's a good writer. Tonight, the teaching, we're going to be looking at 2 Kings, and before getting ready to the teaching, you have all these ideas. I have all kinds of ideas on what I have to teach on, and sometimes I've taught what I wanted to teach on, and they went. Everybody's looking in there like, and it didn't come out in flow. And so it's, are you going to share what I want to teach? Even yesterday, I'm like, man, I really like you to get back on me what you want me to share. And the word back was, don't worry about it. I know what I want to tell. I know what I'm going to share. You want to throw me a bone? But Christ will, he knows what he wants to share. That's the same with prophecy or witnessing and going out. He knows. And if we are in fellowship with him, he knows the words and he knows exactly what he's going to say. And when you mess up, he can correct it. And so that was today's teaching, because I really wanted to share on Passover. I wanted to share the last Passover, the book of Revelation, where every tear is wiped away, the conclusion, everything. The last, no, that's not what I want. Sure, it is Passover, but resisting the adversary, resisting. The scriptures say it's real important for young people. We feel invincible. But the scriptures say in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Sober doesn't necessarily mean drunk. It means the adversary is as, he's not a roaring lion, but he is as a roaring lion seeking who he's going to devour. You ever seen people, Christians or whatever, they're not paying attention, snuffed out. You're going to go, what do we know when somebody gets snuffed out? They missed it. And the ones that are around them missed it. Because we know that 2 Peter 3:9 says Yahweh doesn't want anybody to perish. So when somebody dies prematurely or something horrible happens, when I was a teenager, something horrible had to happen for me to wake up. Because I'm a teenager, I had so much fun, we do this, we do that, here we are, we're living the best times of our life. And then something bad happens to somebody, you're going to go, sober up. We're all being hunted. Now the purpose of the teaching and that scripture is not for us to become so minded of the adversary that we don't do our work. But he goes, there's big game out here, man. Be sober, be watchful, because the adversary is as a roaring lion. And if you're surrounded with people that are not sober, what does that mean? You need to be even more sober. Because if they're not paying attention, if they're living their own life, especially when I was a teenager, I'm just thinking about, I didn't take anything too serious until something bad happened, until there's red and blue lights in my head. Oh God, I'll do anything you want. But the thing is, if we stay sober, there's anything that Brian Butler would say, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. It was the same with the scriptures. Because this life is so short. And then in James 4:7, And eight, it says, resist the devil or the adversary, and what will happen?
He'll flee.
He'll flee. And there, I wanted to do a whole other teaching on what that is not. And he goes, no, do what I told him. And so what we're going to look at is somebody resisting the adversary. Why? He will flee. What is resisting the adversary?
Doing Yahweh's work.
It's doing the work. It's surrounding yourself with believers who are doing the work. It's surrounding yourself with somebody with prophecy that will deliver the messages. And if you're not around that, it's like TikTok. And hopefully nothing really bad happens. But when it does, you're going to go, what do you think is going to happen? But what we're going to look at is a guy named Hezekiah. Because right now, the Democrats, the Chinese communists, the Russians are trying to get President Trump to go to prison. They want to destroy him. Why? Because he represents Christ. Is he Christ? No. But he is the closest thing we've ever seen as a politician that will take this on. He doesn't need the heat. He doesn't need more of this. And the whole world, it would appear, is trying to crush him, going, you're going to go to prison now. And how are they going to try to get him to go to prison? Something's going to come out of his mouth, is what I would assume. They're going to do something. We're going to get him to say something. We're going to get this. And I talked to another believer, and they couldn't believe it. They go, this is the end of the world. He could never do this. It could appear that way. Now we're going to look at King Hezekiah. Before King Hezekiah, there was one kingdom. Well, David united all 12 tribes. It was kind of divided before. As all 12 tribes, he has Solomon. Solomon gets wicked. It's split. Now there's a northern tribe called Israel. And then you have Judah, which is going to be Benjamin, the Levites, and Judah. Two different tribes. This one up here in the north, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You can still be a Jew. Come on up here. Well, you can do whatever you want. And what happens is actually they get really prosperous for a while. But guess what's going to happen to them? Be sober, be watchful, because there's an adversary. And actually, Yahweh's going to have them carried away. And to kind of give you a history, and we're going to be doing a lot of reading, chapter 2 Kings chapter 18. But the point of this is going to be, if you are doing the Word, if you're doing the Word, resist the adversary, and he will what? He'll flee. Well, I don't think you understand what President Trump is up against. Does Yahweh?
Yeah.
Why is President Trump being attacked the way he is? Because he's doing what Yahweh's telling him to do. And he's doing what Christians are supposed to do. Now, the swamp and these other people who hate him, it's not him. Mm-hmm. It's Christ inside of him. And what makes him different? He's not a coward. Boehner, Mitt Romney, these other Republicans will do whatever they got to do to get, just leave me alone. Cowards, cowards, cowards. President Trump is something we've never seen before. Maybe Abraham Lincoln. This guy does not compromise when it comes to these things. And he doesn't need this. Hezekiah, President Trump was a type of Hezekiah. Now, we're going to be reading chapter 18, chapter 19 together, and we're going to actually look at somebody where this scripture applies. What's real important about with Hezekiah before we read this, he's not popular. If you want to be a popular king, what do? If you want to be a popular parent, if you want to be the coolest parent at the high school, what do?
Do what they want.
You give them what they want. Hey, you drink as much as you want, just give me your car keys. I knew people like that in high school. Hey, I love this person. You give them exactly what they want. Hezekiah is not going to do what they want. He's going to do what Yahweh wants. And if you don't know that when you're reading it, you don't realize that they would have voted him out. Mm-hmm. If Judah could have, they would have impeached him. Why would I say that? Because what happens after Hezekiah?
Manasseh.
One of the most wicked. And what is Manasseh doing? He's give the people what he wants. So here could be Hezekiah would appear a man not just against the Chi Coms and the Russians and the Democrats. He's got his own Judeans who are conspiring against him, like the Republicans are against President Trump. And I believe that this right here, when you have Hezekiah, we get to look at it, I believe that righteous Jews would have been praying for him. We need that man on the front. He's the only one that can do it. And that's where we should be doing for our President Trump.
Amen.
Going to go, we need him more than ever. We need more advisors. And I'll start off chapter 18, verse 1, and then I'll kind of hand it off. You guys will be doing me a favor. But this is real important to understand this. Because in chapter 18, verse 1, it's going to start off with the northern kingdom. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Do whatever the heck you want. And they made a lot of money. You know what's going to happen to them? Yahweh's going to send the Assyrians to carry them away. He warned them. Okay, who? The Assyrians. Who sent them?
Bad news, people.
Who sent the Assyrians?
Yahweh.
You're going to be carried away? Here this whole thing is? It was not Yahweh's will. He wanted them to repent. Well, what's going to happen later on with the Assyrians? The same guys that carried away Israel are now coming for Judah. So would that be scary?
Yeah.
If Israel was just carried away because of their sins, by who? Yahweh. And now Judah, now we're coming for you, and Yahweh sent us too. Would that make you doubt? Holy cow, wait a minute. And so it kind of paints a picture. And it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And 29 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abi, a daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places. Can you imagine with the Catholic Church getting rid of all the saints? Get rid of all those images. All those images. Well, Protestants go, yeah, get rid of those. Let's get rid of God of your Holy Spirit too. No, not our God. That's just get rid of the images. And Jesus Christ is not Yahweh. Just He is. Then get rid of that image. You can bring in the Son of God, but that's what He would have done. Can you imagine going into churches? Get rid of all the images. Get rid of your God, the Holy Spirit. Get rid of this saint. Get rid of that saint. And what's going to happen is He does this right before Israel's carried away. The roaring lion, tick. Now, that's not necessarily the royal line in that case. We can look at it. They start cleaning house, and guess what's going to happen right after that? Guess who gets carried away? Israel. Verse 4, he removed the high places, and he broke in pieces the pillars, and cut down the sacred stems, and beat into pieces the serpent and the bronze and the moat. Let's go into some churches right now and tear up everything that says the goddess Easter. Everything that has a fertility god of a rabbit and eggs, tear it up. What if we did an edict like right now here in Wichita? What would Christians do to you? We like our fertility gods. We like the goddess of Esther is estrogen. It's sex. And that's why you have baby chickens and eggs is sex. And our rabbits have sex a lot. Do you guys know that? Yeah, and so now they had to get rid of it all. What would happen in most churches? You could be popular with people, or you could be popular with your maker. And what is he doing? I'm getting right with my maker. Let's see here. And unto those days, let me see, Moses had made, because unto those days had the sons of Israel been burning incense therein, so they called it Nehushtan. And so there was a bronze serpent that Moses made, or had made, and it had been there, I think it was 700 years. Here's a bronze serpent Moses had made because Yahweh sent serpents to people and they got bit and had to turn towards it. Now they're worshiping it. Who made this? Moses. Does that make it valuable?
Yeah.
Get rid of it. Would that make it popular?
Yeah.
No. Can you imagine going in, wiping things out, or here's the Ark of the Covenant, and Yahweh says, burn it. No, people are going to want to keep that box. It gets rid of it because they're worshiping it. It's an image. And verse 5, in Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, did he trust, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor that were before him. And he did cleave unto Yahweh. He turned not away from following him, but kept to his commandments. I heard this comedian talking about, he was witnessing to people that weren't Americans. He goes, we got a Bill of Rights. We got the First Commandment, or First Amendment and Second One. First Amendment says you can say whatever you want. Second one is, but you better buy a gun. He was joking,
yeah.
But he wasn't joking. That's why they're the first two things. You can say what you want, but you better buy a gun. That's what the number one and number two things are with our Bill of Rights. Yahweh had number one and number two. I am Yahweh, thy Elohim. Thou shalt not have any other Elohims before me. It's number one. What's number two?
Don't make any guns.
Images. Christians breaking the first two ones just like that. That's what Democrats do with the First Amendment and the right to bear arms. If somebody else would read for me.
All right, seven. So Yahweh was with him. Whithersoever he went forth, he prospered, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He smote the Philistines as far as his Gaza and her boundaries, from the watchman tower even to the fortified
city. Prosper is just right there. Who did he rebel against?
King of Assyria.
Remember that. He rebelled against him. So it would appear he had to rebel, so he was submitting, or there was some sort of alliance, or there was some sort of agreement going on, and he goes, not anymore. It's important, really important, because we're going to get to read the rest of this, and it's going to appear that these are now the consequences, because you picked a fight with the king of Assyria, you should have left this alone, is what it could appear to be. Okay, now, verse 9.
It came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, the same was the seventh year of Hosea, son of Eli, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and laid siege against her. And he captured it at the end of 3 years, in the 6 years of Hezekiah, the same as the ninth year of Hosea, king of Israel, was Samaria captured. So the king of Assyria drove away Israel to Assyria and settled them in Halah and Arbor by the river of Gozan and the mountains of Media, because they hearkened not unto the voice of Yahweh.
This is 6 years later. He cleans house. He becomes king. Starts getting rid of all this stuff. He also rebels against this guy, the king of Assyria. Done. It's like, it reminded me of President Trump with China. They're the evil ones. And then the Democrats go, no, they're not. The Democrats are getting paid by Chinese. But now what happens 6 years later? Israel's carried away. Okay?
Because they hearkened not unto the voice of Yahweh, their Elohim, but transgressed his covenant, all that Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded, they neither hearkened nor performed. And in the 14th year of King Hezekiah...
How many years later is this?
14 years.
Okay, so 14, 6 years, 6 years into his reign, Israel is carried away. Before that, sometime within the first 6 years, he rebels against Assyria. We're done with you. Now it's going to happen in the 14th year, okay?
Came up Sennacherib, king of Assyria, against all the fortified cities of Judah, and took them. Then went Hezekiah, king of Judah, unto the king of Assyria, to Lachish, saying, I have said, return from me. What thou shalt lay upon me, I will bear.
So interesting here, because at first he rebels against them, then right here, what's happening? If you ever had that, just do what they say and they'll leave you alone. That's what the Democrats say. Just do what the transvestites and the homosexuals and the sodomites, just go with it and we'll leave you alone. They're never going to leave you alone. Ever. It's light and darkness. And the same thing with here, Yahweh doesn't say he did anything wrong here, but you're looking, he's going to go, what? Just go away. And then we're going to see what's going to happen. Just leave us alone. But remember, he did rebel against him earlier. Okay, no, go ahead.
So the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah delivered up all the silver that was found in the house of Yahweh and in the treasuries of the house of the king. At that time, Hezekiah cut off the doors of the temple of Yahweh and the columns with Hezekiah.
Okay, how bad did that hurt this king?
Yeah.
Who is Hezekiah? Remember, other people might not ever notice what you're doing. Who noticed Hezekiah?
Yahweh.
Yahweh did. And that's all that matters. If nobody, maybe your whole family, they don't have no idea what you're doing. Does he? That's all that really matters. And so in this case, to an evil king, to a Democrat, would they care about cutting the doors off of Yahweh's temple?
No.
To somebody who loved Yahweh, would this bother him? Are you kidding me? Okay. And so Hezekiah is being forced to do this, okay?
At the time, Hezekiah cut off the doors of the temple of Yahweh and the columns which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave them unto the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria sent Taran and Rabsaris and...
We can pause. We can kind of fast forward through some of this. And guess what's going to happen? And so the king of Assyria left, said, okay, we're eating. Have a nice day. Well, you can. They said, we do not negotiate with terrorists. The Democrats are terrorists. Don't even say anything about the Democrats, and they'll leave you alone. That's what it sounds like, right? If you even say the D word, people look and go, dude. It's like having a Trump sticker on your back. The Democrats will key your car! Ah, I don't care about them, I'm circumcised. But we're going to find out is they're not going to go away. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to get thirsty for blood. They're going to come over, and now we're coming to take and everything. Verse 19, since somebody will start reading.
I read. And Rabshakeh said unto them, pray you, say unto Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what trust is this wherewith thou dost trust? Thou hast said, they are only words of the lips. Counsel and might have I for the war. Now in whom dost thou trust that thou hast rebelled against us? Me? Now lo, thou dost trust thyself on the support of this bruised cane on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will enter his hand and lay it open. So is Pharaoh king of Egypt to all who trust upon him. But if ye should say unto me, in Yahweh our God do we trust, then is that not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath removed? And he said to Judah and unto Jerusalem, before this altar shall ye bow down in Jerusalem? Now therefore pledge thyself, I pray thee, with my lord, the king of Assyria, that I supply thee with 2,000 horses, if thou on thy part be able to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn back the face of one passer of the least of my lord's servants? Or hast thou on thy part trusted to Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Now is it without Yahweh that I have come up against this place to destroy it? Yahweh himself said unto me.
Okay, so if you don't know the history of all this, he's just a false prophet. But this could be really scary stuff. Because wait a minute, what did the prophet say about Israel? They're going to be carried away, here's the Assyrians. And they go, now the same guy's coming here? If your house is not in order, if you're not doing the word, and the piper comes, you start panicking. Now for the righteous ones, you go, hold on a minute. I read 6 chapters today. I prayed for 45 minutes. Wait a minute. That crap doesn't fly with here. But to the other people, he said, and what is he doing? He said, Hezekiah got rid of all your gods and your images, trying to get the people against Hezekiah to crush him. Okay. Go ahead and keep reading. Sorry.
Go thou up against this land and destroy it. Then said Eliakim.
Well, we don't have to kind of skips through it. So he also goes and he's speaking to them in the Hebrew language, so they all could hear it. Why? To pressure him. And so this is what's happening with President Trump too. Can you imagine what family members would probably tell him to do? Just withdraw from the race. Withdraw? Hey, President Trump, you don't have. Can you imagine his family members going? How old is he? You're going to be 75, I think. Is this what you want? And can you imagine Christians possibly too going? Just back out. Just leave this thing alone. It's just not worth it. And you can imagine, so all this is coming through the Hebrews. Now the Hebrews are hearing it. Faith comes by hearing, but so does unbelief. And Rabshakeh, he goes on. I'll let you. Let's see here. You keep reading, and here comes all the threats. And this is going to be the Democrats with President Trump sitting there. They're going to come this and this and this. And what's going to happen is to cowards. You guys have met cowards, probably kids your own age. Just do whatever people want. They leave you alone, right? To cowards, they're going to start crushing. What's Hezekiah going to do? Here this is. Here's all the allegations. 43 counts, President Trump. We got you here. We got you here. We got you. Is he innocent? Yes. But it doesn't matter when you got The Democrats have the Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. So Congress would say that the guy who's threatening President Trump, we'll pull him. He has to come before Congress. And, he, and the district attorney said, I don't have to. And the guys on Congress, one of the Republicans, go, he didn't have a choice. But who's going to enforce anything? It's going to be the Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. And who's running the Department of Justice? The Democrats. And so you can imagine going, what's the point of all this? And so if you read all the threats over and over and over and over, and here's all the stuff that's happening, and go down to verse 36, after all his threatings. Isaiah, would you read that?
But the people held their peace and answered him not a word. For the command of the king, it was saying, ye must not answer him.
As Nate, go, they were commanded. Remember, hey, King Hezekiah had an iron fist. He had to have an iron fist to do what he did to get this far. He was not people's friends. And when he did a command, you better bow down to King Hezekiah, because if this guy goes, here's the laws and the rules. So they kept their mouth shut. And what does the Hezekiah do? Does he argue with the adversary? Does he get into debate with these other things? Now we're going to look at what is resisting the devil for us, or resisting our adversary. Okay, verse 37, somebody start reading.
Then came in Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shabbatnai the scribe, and Joash, son of Asaph, the quarter, unto Hezekiah with rent clothes, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and entered the house of Yahweh. And when Eliakim,
who was... He didn't go get drunk. Okay.
And when Eliakim was over the household, and Sheba, the scribe, and the elders and the priests covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, son of Amos, and they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, a day of trouble and rebuke and reviling, this is the day. For children are come to the birth, and strength is there none to bring forth. It may be that Yahweh thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria has, his Lord has sent to reproach a living God, and will rebuke the words which Yahweh thy God hath heard.
So what's beautiful about this is that who comes into Hezekiah, whoever these guys were, and they had their clothes ripped. These would have been his trusted people, because Hezekiah had many enemies when you get rid of that many idols. Judeans who want to kill you or get rid of you, and when his trusted counselors come up with ripped clothes, these guys have trust. Then he rips his clothes, and what does he do? He takes, we're talking about stress displacement for my nephew. We took him to the gym. I said, with men, it appears women cry or they get depressed. Men have a tendency to punch things. Girls laugh at that. We laugh at you when you cry. Why do you cry? That doesn't fix anything. Here, punch a wall. Make you feel better. It's stress displacement. I was telling my nephew, take all that. We're getting ready to work out, and I was trying to get him to channel some supernatural strength. I said, add up all the things all the things that were stressing you out this week. Focus on it. Now turn it into dynamite with this one press, acting as if you can get rid of it and just let it out. But what is that's called stress displacement. And you actually could turn something that's about meant to kill you, because stress kills men, and you turn it into something positive. Hezekiah is going to do stress displacement. What is he going to do with it? He's going to give it to our father. Yahweh, he goes right to the prophet. I need a prophecy. Hey, I need some help here. Is Yahweh honored? Yahweh's watching. Okay.
Wherefore lift thou up a prayer for the remnant that remaineth. So the servants of King Hezekiah came unto Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say unto your Lord, thus saith Yahweh, be not thou afraid because of the words which thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have reviled me. Behold me, about to let go against him a blast. Spirit of rock. And when he heareth the report, then will he return to his own country, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land.
I'm going to pause there for just a second. What's real important, I think I say that a lot. It's real important right here, though. What would have happened if Hezekiah did not go to Yahweh? Sometimes we feel like Yahweh's going to take care of something. Who are we talking? You have to go to him. Vent. Permission to speak freely. This thing's sinking. Nobody's getting along. You, living in a house with many people, you hear arguments a lot. I live by myself. I don't hear any arguments. But you live with a lot of people. There's fights. Oh, my goodness. But what does he do? You got to go to him. Do something. Be seeking. Be asking. Be knocking. You go to him and say, hey, help. And what does Yahweh do? He responds to the rhetorical questions. What if Hezekiah didn't do it? I'm just believing God. What would have happened? We don't know. But there's a chance that this would not have flipped had he not petitioned. Be seeking. Be asking. Be knocking. You have not because you ask not. Okay?
Okay.
Verse 7.
Was it
8?
Okay. Yeah. So Rab Shaketh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that it had broken up from Lachish. When they heard, say, of Tiraha, king of Ethiopia, saying,
so we don't have to keep reading. Here's going to come the threats. So what's going to happen? President Trump, you got off on this one. But we'll be back. We're going to get you on this next one. And so here's this whole thing is this, the enemy attacking. How can you go against the Department of Justice? Do you know the Department of Justice? If you don't know that. You know, the Department of Justice, the FBI, the IRS, some of the Supreme Court justices, all fake news is all against who? President Trump, because he represents Christ. Just submit. And so here, there's going to be a victory, but then he's going to come back and he's going to blast, we'll be back. We're going to come back even worse. And how bad was this threat? It was bad enough for Hezekiah to go back to Yahweh. So it did not look like things. You can imagine when they started leaving, maybe is this the blast? Is it not the blast? Is this the relief? Is it not the relief? But man, for Hezekiah to be forced to cut the gold off of Yahweh's, the gold off Yahweh's temple? How bad were things? How bad was it when they went to Hezekiah or Isaiah the prophet? Isaiah, women don't have the strength to give birth to the babies. What does that mean? They're probably starving to death. They're starving. They're weak. They're exhausted. Just quit. And so he comes back with a long list. Remember, to have any print in Yahweh's word is important. Why does this guy get so much print? He's got almost as much print as Philip. Philip, have you ever read the book of Philemon? Yeah, I read that in one day. How many pages is it?
One.
This guy's got almost as much print as Philemon. Who is this evil guy? He comes back in with the threats, and he's going to get another letter. What is Hezekiah going to do this time? Verse 14. There's another subpoena.
And when Hezekiah had received the letter at the hand of the messengers and had read it, then went he up into the house of Yahweh, and Hezekiah spread it out before Yahweh. And Hezekiah prayed before Yahweh and said, O Yahweh, God of Israel, inhabiting the cherubim, thou thyself art Elohim alone for all the kings of the earth. Thou didst make the heavens and the earth. Bow down, O Yahweh, thine ear and hear. Open, O Yahweh, thine eyes and see. Yea, hear thou the words of Sennacherib, who hath sent to reproach a living Elohim. Of a truth, O Yahweh, the kings of Assyria hath devoted to destruction the nations and their lands, and have to put their gods on the fire, for no gods were they, but the work of the hands of men, wood and stone, and so they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Yahweh, our God, save us, we pray thee, out of this hand, that all the kings of the earth may know that thou, Yahweh, art God alone. Then Isaiah son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, what thou hast prayed unto
me. Now we'll pause there. I mean, just for brevity's sake, I'd encourage you guys to read it. Because who recorded Hezekiah's prayer? Yahweh did. Who heard it? The first time Hezekiah went into Yahweh's house, and then he sought after the prophet. If you really want an answer, you're going to go to somebody who can prophesy. Hey, I need a word. I need some help. Mm-hmm. And the second time it happens, he goes directly to Yahweh. And what does he do? And hears his heart. And there... Hezekiah, there's also his prayer when he turns to the wall when he's going to die. He doesn't have a son. Jesus Christ is supposed to come from Hezekiah. He doesn't have a son. And who tells him he's going to die?
Isaiah.
Is he trusted? Yeah, you're going to find it. He's a trusted prophet. That same guy goes, oh yeah, get your house in order, you're going to die. But yeah, but he turns to the wall and he petitions back to Yahweh. And you'll get to see his prayer. His prayer is so long. It's like two columns. Who recorded that prayer? Yahweh did. Are you talking to him like that? Are you praying for him? And he matters. To him it matters. And then with this, Yahweh's rebuttal to him goes here. And he's going to say, you know what's going to happen to this sucker? Oh, Hezekiah, because of your heart, because you got rid of all these false gods, because you crushed all these other idolatries, and you did all this stuff for me, because it wasn't for Judah, because you want to find what Judah does as soon as he's gone, they go right back to it. He goes, since you did that for me, the girls are going to be wagging their heads at the Assyrians. You ever seen girls? Think of that sucker. And he starts talking about they're going to be so humiliated. Here's the response. Here it keeps going, and Yahweh goes on. This is called a long monologue. He gets down to verse 28. Because thy raging against me and thy contempt have come upon mine ears, is verse 28. Therefore will I put my ring in thy nose, and my bit in thy lips, and will cause thee to thee back the way by which thou hast come. And so here's Yahweh, the king of Syria, was used to get rid of Israel, but it appears he got cocky. Reminds you of some other kings, right? Nebuchadnezzar, did he get cocky? He got cocky. What happened to Saul? He got cocky. He went nuts. At least Nebuchadnezzar turned around. King Assyria does not repent. Then Yahweh goes on and on and on and on. He goes, not only that, at the end, there, verse 32, the conclusion of it. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh concerning the Democrat Party. You want to know who hates Yahweh? Sodomy. Abortion. And just go as all the Democrat Party. They hate them. But you know them by the fruit of their labor. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not enter this city over President Trump, nor shoot thee there an arrow, nor attack it with the shield, nor cast up against it a mound. By the way they came in, by the same shall he return into this city. Can you imagine what happens when Yahweh communicates to you? He's a God of peace, not confusion. What happens to your peace when he prophesies or speaks to somebody through you or you read the word? It doesn't matter what your odds are. Your peace starts overflowing. You're going, that's what's going to happen. Because of Hezekiah, he chose to face against resistance. And how close was this guy to the crumbling? I don't know, but I've never met Hezekiah, but I'm looking at President Trump. Can you imagine what this guy's going against? No. His own kids? Grandchildren? Hey, do we have to talk about the Democrats anymore? Stop saying it. Just stop saying that. They don't like it. Here he is going. But he's not a coward. And I remember my dad calling me out once when I was first getting into business with him. And something. I'm like, oh, Dad, so much drama. He goes, blah, blah. He goes, are you a coward? And I went, and it was a rhetorical question, but he didn't know what it did. That word coward just got all over me. And it didn't matter what he said next. He had delivered a message to me, and Yahweh wanted to know, are you a coward? It's not about what you say or if I'm offended. What are you going to do? And you decide each day whether you're a coward or not. But I believe that we should be confessing and speaking for President Trump and for other leaders we don't know about, for messages and prophecies. I've been getting on my knees at night and praying about certain things. It was interesting before the Super Bowl. Yahweh said, for like a week, pray for Patrick Mahomes' ankle. So I was. They won the Super Bowl, so maybe one day I'll find out they got to be playing a part of that. Maybe not. But in this case, I was going, what do I need to pray for, intercede for before I go to bed? Is there anything? I try to do it like a butler would. Is there anything else you need from me before I go to bed? So I try to do it last thing, before devotions, before prayer, or after prayer. And he said, pray for Donald Trump's advisors. He needs some of these guys to rise up. He needs some people to get a prophetic word or a scripture for them to catch on fire like a Philip or something to help this guy out. So resist the devil and he will flee. I guess I forgot the whole part. How do you resist the devil, King Hezekiah? Don't talk. And he took all the stress and he went to Yahweh. He talked to Yahweh, and then he took the stress to resist it. He did not go to weaker believers. If you got something like this, you don't share it. Especially if there's healing or something. If there's a big miracle that needs to happen in a family, you don't go to weak believers. Why? Faith comes by hearing, so does doubt. So he went to his trusted advisors, and then he went to Isaiah. And then he went directly to Yahweh himself after his prayer, which I forgot to go over that too. When Hezekiah went, and he says, and he goes, Yahweh, Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, inhabiting the cherub, thou thyself art El alone. There's no three in one gods. There's one. And as he does this, is this in private? Yeah. This time Yahweh sends a prophet to him. Can you imagine how good that would have felt? After he dumped Yahweh, blah, blah, here's this and that. Okay, then you can imagine. I'm praying! Come on, the king! Isaiah the prophet's here. Then Isaiah comes in. Can you imagine the relief that would have been felt? Then let's pray for that for our President Trump. So why don't somebody else pray for him?
Father, in the name of Yahushua, we come before you and claim Hesed right now because we are your children and we are the holy ones because of what Christ has done. We lift up our prayers, our supplications, and our petitions to you through Yahushua for President Trump. We thank you not only for his success, but we claim his health, and his advisors are the ones that he needs. I thank you for surrounding him with a hedge of protection, Father, for just gifting him all the joy that he needs that will help him to overcome and to keep his mind and his thoughts on you.
Amen. Thank you. Know, my sons and my daughters, that focus on what I know, because in this world you will have trouble. And in this world there are crosses that you will be hanging on, and people will mock you and they will revile you. And I have warned you, but joy will come in the morning, and I want you to know that I don't miss a single thing. I have promised you to give you the desires of your heart, and when you can't go on anymore because it's not worth it, because of things you're going to have to let go, focus on the desires that only I can give you. I can give you the future. I can give you a spouse. I can bring the dead back to life. Can I not? Focus on me and focus on what I know. And as you do so, you will give yourself the strength to carry your cross up your own Golgotha, knowing that within 3 days you will get to hug your mom again.